Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new Delta X podcast with Ellen Hsu. These are conversations with changemakers, innovators, and self-starters who have made their mark on the world at a young age, breaking down the journeys of those who are changing the status quo and building the future today. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Welcome back to another episode of Delta X Podcast. And so today I actually have one of my friends on. It's actually kind of an interesting story how I met Calix. It was pretty much by chance because we were at a hackathon and I got on the same team. And yeah, now he's doing some really cool things. So I want to talk to him about it and hope you guys enjoy this kind of more casual-ish episode as well and get to know Calix a bit better. But yeah, so Calix right now, he's 16 and he's already had two of his companies acquired. Most recently, he was working on one of his SaaS software as a service companies, ours, and scaled to 20,000 users. It was a productivity kind of website. I know because I also use it. But yeah, he scaled it to about 20,000 users in 6 months. And then he recently underwent a six-figure acquisition with Fiveable. And so some other things he's done, he got his first software engineering internship when he was 14. And he's also been in a variety of other engineering positions and contract work. So yeah, welcome, Calix.
Yeah, super happy to be here.
So I think listeners are probably wondering, you've sold two companies, or had two companies acquired, and you've done a lot of really cool things in terms of software engineering. So I bet people are wondering, how did you get started? How'd you learn web development? Put us in shoes of young freshman Calix, or however old you were when you got your start in computer science or programming, and tell us how that went.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you got it right. I started in computer science in the beginning of my freshman year of high school. I just finished my junior year. So it's been a little over 2.5 years now. But prior to that time, I actually didn't really it's not that I didn't like computers. It's just I didn't really care about them at all. And I kind of got into it through ethical hacking and penetration testing. And I only did that for 3 months. So it's not like I became good or anything. So I'm not good enough to hack anyone, to be honest. And even if I was, I wouldn't. So I kind of got into that space and it was a really good starting point for me because I know a lot of people that get into computer science because it's there's a lot of money, there's a lot of opportunities, a lot of versatility. I kind of just came in because I was hey, it's cool. I can track what keys you're typing, or I can kind of see through your webcam. You know, I thought it was pretty interesting. So it was a point of interest. And then, someone told me that Python was considered the hacker's language. I was now I kind of want to get into that. And so I got into Python, and from Python, I kind of got into machine learning and AI and data science. And, I did that for 6-7 months. And, after I kind of did that for a while, it was cool. I was kind of able to build a few different models and then put them into some relatively useful scenarios. But to be honest, I didn't really understand what I was doing. And so I kind of did a 180 pivot, and I just decided to go straight on web development. And my reasoning behind that was kind of just, I want to do something that's a little more straightforward. And my options are web, mobile, or desktop. And I just chose web because it just seemed like the most versatile out of the three. And it was definitely the right decision. So I just worked on that and I learned full stack I learned it in a couple weeks, but I got good at it after a couple of months. And then I started going to hackathons, building projects, and I wanted to build projects. That kind of got me into companies, and it was just kind of a spiral.
You kind of tried out multiple things, started off in Python and then realized AI wasn't really your thing, and then moved on to web development.
Mm-hmm.
Exploring is pretty cool. Yes, I think most of the time you don't really know what you want to do when you get started. So
yeah.
Also, I know you mentioned you learned full stack in a couple of weeks, but it really took a few months to get a lot better than that. And then you went to hackathons and stuff like that. So I guess, what's your approach when you're trying to learn something, or when you're trying to self-learn? How do you usually go about that, or acquiring a new skill?
Right. I think what I've done a lot, so I have learned everything, from the beginning, I've learned everything off of Udemy specifically. I highly recommend the platform, especially for technical skills. What I would do is, so for example, web design is something I really like. You know, working with CSS, different styling libraries, I really like it. I really like having a good visual aspect to everything that I build. And so when I was first getting into CSS, I didn't even take a beginner's CSS course. I went straight into like the most advanced one you could take. And just because I was looking at the designs they were making and I was like, wow, this is exactly what I do. I want to build websites like this, but I want to have my own style. I want to be able to come up with the style and the design myself. And what I would do is I think that was like somewhere close to a 25 to 28 hour course. So like one of the longer courses that I would have taken. And what I did was I actually took it 3 times. And so what I did was the first time I basically had the tutorial on one side of the screen and then I had the code editor on the other side. And the first time around, what I did was I watched him and I literally typed exactly what he was typing. And I had no idea what I was doing, but I typed it exactly. And then it came out exactly the way he did it. And if it didn't, I would redo everything. Mm-hmm. And then that's what I did the first time. And then what I did the second time was I went through it again and I did the exact same thing. But even though I've gone through the course before and I kind of knew what was happening, I would pause the video and I would try and predict what he was going to type before he did it and then see if I was right. And then the third time I did it, I basically split up everything into 3 sections. And I tried to design the entire site myself and then watch everything again to see if I got it right. And like, it's kind of biased because I basically made 3 really big web designs and I did them all 3 times. So like 9 designs, but that kind of like sharpened my skills. And I haven't had to take like any course relating to web design ever since. And so, yeah, it's just kind of like a lot of iteration. I think it's just, I don't know. It's like that. I can't remember whose quote this is, but it maybe it's like Albert Einstein. I don't know. It's like, it's like, tell me and I'll forget, but like involve me and I'll remember. And then if I do it, I'll understand. Something like that. It's just like, coding is kind of like sports. It's some of it's muscle memory.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool how you did it like 3 times and each time you have like a different strategy for getting like the most out of her, like trying to exercise like a different skill or building into like intuition. But yeah, so I think after you learned those skills, is the next thing that you went to do hackathons, and what was your main theory behind that?
Yeah, so actually the first hackathon I attended was I only attended the hackathon because my friend was organizing it. And he was telling me, he was like, oh, Calix, we got to come to this hackathon I'm organizing. And I'm like, what's a hackathon? He's like, okay, so you basically come over, it's 24 hours, you stay overnight, we give you a bunch of food and merch, and then you build something and then you present it at the end. And I was like, I'm not too crazy about the building part, but like food at like 3 a.m., like I'm down. So I joined, and at that time I actually wasn't doing any web development stuff. So I actually started doing hackathons before that. And I completely veered off. Like when you go to hackathons, they give you like a theme and you're supposed to build across that theme. Their theme was like boilerplate stuff. It's like, oh yeah, I built something for climate and then health and then this and that. And I did not do any of that. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I just built this facial recognition thing kind of based on what I did before. And that had nothing to do with the theme. So I didn't win, but I got like a special notice or something, special shout out. So I guess I did kind of win. I didn't get anything, but I kind of won something on my first one. Yeah. And so I was kind of like, yeah, this is fun. And so I kept going to them. I went to a lot of adult hackathons, which is really dumb because basically at adult hackathons, you're competing against like software engineers from like Google and Facebook. And it's just kind of, I stumbled into hackathons and I really liked it. And I wouldn't say that I learned anything like amazing from hackathons, but it was definitely like, there were definitely great experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. And I know that like, we also were on the same team of hackathons. So I think like the experience itself is also a really valuable one. I'm wondering, so you're now really into SaaS and like your previous 2 acquisitions were with SaaS, right? What was the first time you actually like built a SaaS product and you're like, wow, I want to continue doing this. I continue building more.
Yeah. For first, like relatively impressive project. It actually stemmed from a hackathon. Basically, I built this project that I still display nowadays called Anno.js, which is basically, it's an open source web animation library. Back then it was like something relating to web animation. And the idea kind of stemmed from the week before that hackathon. I was like, I was designing my first personal website and I wanted to have like a little animation. I wanted to have interactive animations on my site. Cause it was like, it would give like a pop. This was actually my second iteration. Sorry. It was my second iteration of my website. And I was like, I wanted to have a pop, but I didn't want to like, you know, do it myself. Like do that. And so I basically just wanted something online, and you know, if they wanted credits, I would give them credits. I don't care. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted something online that I could plug and play. And it took me so long to find one. And you know, midway through, I was like, man, I wish there was like something that like there was a lot of these. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of where the inspiration came from. And so I went to the hackathon, but I wasn't planning to build it. I was actually just going for fun. I just wanted to like have a good time. And I was sitting in the beginning and I saw this random kid. And most people, they go to hackathons with their own pre-built teams. They want to win because it's mm-hmm. like, you know them, you know that you're compatible. But I'm like, at the time, I was trying to be like get better at socializing anyway. So I would just go there and meet and talk to random people and build random teams. And so I saw this random kid. I go up to him and I start talking to him and, we start, becoming friends. And then we're sitting next to each other during orientation. These other two guys, and one of them I recognized because I met him at an event like a couple months before, and he came over and he was like, oh, dude, Calix, it's been a while. What's up? Uh-huh. And, we started talking and then he's like, okay, let's build a team. And I'm like, okay, fine. But I'm not planning to build anything. And none of them know how to code, which is hilarious. Okay. I'm like, why? And like, yeah. So basically they're like, hey, Cal, because they know that I'm the only one who knows how to code in the group. And they're like, hey, Cal, do you have any ideas? And I was like, well, I do have this one idea, this web animation thing. And they're like, that is so sick. We have to build it. I'm like, no, I was probably going to build it after the hackathon. It's like, no, we got to build it. Like, this is going to be revolutionary. I don't know. Uh-huh. You're trying to hype me up. And I was like, fine. So I did it. I built the entire thing because I didn't know how to code. I wouldn't say they were bad to the team because they helped a lot on the business aspect because it was an entrepreneurship-based hackathon. So they built the pitch entirely. They, did basically our monetization strategy was ads. And then they did a lot of, one of our teammates actually, which probably is why we won. He ran a Facebook pixel for testing. And basically garnered like a couple thousand views to our site before we even pitched. And so we said, oh, look, we got a couple thousand views in the last 8 hours while we were sleeping. Wow. Or while you guys were sleeping, and we could have made X amount of money. And that was like maybe $200. And wow. so that was pretty great. And we ended up winning that hackathon. And for that hackathon, we got like four VR sensors, and we got like four Amazon Alexas and four Google Home Minis and stuff. But the biggest thing is that they gave us a Nintendo Switch.
The grand prize. That's okay.
Yeah. So, we had to split it. Basically, one of the guys took it and then he gave me like $150. It was pretty good.
I thought you were going to say he was going to give me a remote. Now it's going to be like,
Like, I still have not touched it or seen it or played with the Nintendo Switch to this day, even though I won it. The whole moral of the story was I built Anno.js and then I continued working on it for 2 weeks, became better. And then I ditched it. I went back to it like maybe two or three more times. But that was like my first big project. To this day, it has like 50,000 kind of general uses. So, not the biggest project, but I think it was like pretty good by then. And so that kind of inspired me to move on to bigger projects, not move on to bigger projects, but build other projects and, buy a domain name for them and design them and make, treat them like, hey, I want you to use it.
And like getting that new experience too. I think it's interesting how you like weren't planning to compete even. You just like wanted the new experience and it was like real world and like practical to your life. Okay, should we do two quick fire questions? So like, tell me the first thing you think of when I ask the question, and maybe you can expand on it too, if you feel like it.
Sure.
Okay. What is the biggest thing? If like describe in one word, like the biggest thing you learned from hackathons.
Okay. I mean, I have two things. Like I have something that I learned about hackathons, and then there's something that I learned from hackathons. I learned about hackathons is you can win hackathons. Hackathons are not about building. Like they are about building, but they're also not. Like hackathons are about building, but winning hackathons about marketing. Like I've seen, like I went to this adult hackathon that had 150 teams and there are these people that played, the prize pool was like 25K. There were these people that won seventh place and they didn't write any code, but they had like a beautiful pitch deck. They built a trailer for this thing. And I was like, what the heck? But yeah. And what I learned from hackathons is, I don't know. I feel like you get the most out of the hackathon when you go outside your comfort zone. Like not going to the hackathon with people that you know, even though that's probably more fun, you're not going to get as much benefit out of it. You know, winning the hackathon is not as big of a deal, but continuation after that hackathon is what makes a bigger difference. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of wasted potential at hackathons, if I'm being honest. You know, there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of work that goes to waste when the event ends, when it really shouldn't be like that. Yeah. I'm not going to like spend my time trying to advocate, hey, guys, you got to work on your projects after your hackathon. I'm going to speak here, I'm going to speak here, and I'm going to do all of this just to make sure that you guys work on it. No, I don't care if you ditch your project after. But if I'm in front of you and that's exactly what you're doing, I'm just going to say, just work on it after. Like it'll make a difference.
Yeah. And maybe I'm wrong here, but like the point of a hackathon is to actually like start a project and work on it after, right? Or is it the point is just to?
Right. Like they say hackathon, but it's really just a hack a sprint.
I didn't even know that it's like a marathon. I actually didn't think about it like that.
Yeah, it's not a marathon at all. It's just a sprint. And it is actually, to be honest, hackathons are a good starting point to validate your idea. Like not on from a business perspective, but for kind of from like a technical perspective, like, hey, this can be possible. This is what we can expand to. So it's the end of the hackathon should not be like the end of the project unless your project sucks. If your project sucks, then it should definitely be the end.
I think it's cool how it could be your first audience, like your first kind of like pitch or impressions, like your first set of eyes on your idea. If you're listening and you're going to go to a hackathon, try to continue it because you won't regret it. And you know, Calix continued his web development journey after that turned out well. So moving into another question I want to ask you, and I guess this one is might not be a quick fire because it might require some explaining, but was there anything in web development that you had like difficulty initially, or like a concept that was like really hard to grasp? And then like, how did you get over that? Because I know that a lot of times coding, you run into like a really big hurdle and then it can get really frustrating. Do you have like a specific experience with that?
Yeah, I had two. One was JavaScript in general. And then the second one was specific, like using specific frameworks within JavaScript. So I start with Python. And for everyone who starts with Python, I would know that we hate on every single other program. It's like, we use JavaScript, that sucks. You know, we can use Python for that. Or, oh, you use Java, that sucks. Or you use C++, that sucks.
Yeah, I feel like there's always this thing with like, yeah.
Yeah, and so at some point I'd start using JavaScript and I hated it. I'm like, what are these braces? I'd use braces and semicolons and so many weird, you know, a lot of stuff is built in Python. Now I love JavaScript. I would use JavaScript over Python any day. But at the time I was like, oh, I really hate this. I don't know what this is. What is this? What is that? What is this? What is that? But as I kind of was I wasn't forced to use it, but I was kind of forcing myself to use it because I knew it would be good for me. I kind of liked it over time. So that was kind of just like, oh, you know I should use this at some point. So I'm just going to push myself towards it until I get more comfortable with it. Probably a better example would be learning frameworks within JavaScript. Basically, the biggest one, React. There's also like Vue and there's also like Node.js with Express and stuff like that. I tried using those. I didn't understand it at all. Specifically with React, I tried using it and just because everyone was like, oh my God, React is like the best thing you could possibly, it's like the best thing since sliced bread or something.
Sliced bread, yeah.
And I was like, what is this? Okay, so I'll try it out and I didn't like it. I tried it out, I didn't like it. I probably tried it like three times individually and I didn't like it. And then I started to kind of come across projects, like for example, MPO Core. That was like, MPO Core was a one of the, you know, it was like the second project that I built that kind of did well, I guess. And that actually started off, like I had this random idea. And the biggest reason why I actually started to build it was because I wanted to practice React, you know, literally not really many other good reason. But then at some point, one night, I was like, you know what? I'll try Next.js because I'm like, you know, I'm kind of bored. I don't want to do what I'm doing right now. So I'll try it. I tried it and it made React so understandable. Like it cut out all of the stuff that no one likes in React. And it just focused purely on this is kind of how it should work with components and rendering and things like that. And so that was kind of like a good clicking moment. But at the same time, I had like months prior of like trying React and then not understanding it. So that was kind of like a buildup and then a click with Next. And then so now I never build anything with React if I'm not using Next.js.
So like you didn't like it at first and you like try it multiple times, but then...
Yeah. It's like kind of like banging your head against the wall, but like gone right, I guess.
But you bang it and then it's like your head, like, I don't
know. Yeah, yeah, it actually goes clear. Through at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess usually when you run into an issue, how do you usually try to get over that? Like what is your process for actually getting over the challenges? Like if it's like with React or like anything you had difficulties with, what do you usually do to overcome that?
It sounds really bad, but I just give up. Like, for example, I've tried to learn Swift for iOS development like 4 times in my life. And I would try for like a couple days and then just give up because I have no idea what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm just getting lucky or maybe it's actually a good strategy. But like when it gets too hard, like obviously you try your best for an extended period of time. But if you don't get it over time, it might be because you don't have, when you're not following a curriculum, you don't know what the prerequisites for certain things are. And so it's just kind of like, hey, maybe it's just not right for me at the time, or maybe I'm not ready for this, or maybe I don't need it right now, or maybe I'm just kind of like dumb. So I got to like do some other stuff first. I just like give up and then revisit it another time. Like I tried learning React and I gave up after a couple of days and then I revisited it in like a couple of weeks and then the same thing in a couple of weeks and a couple of weeks and a couple of weeks. It's not really procrastinating. It's just kind of like, it's like procrastinating.
It's like, you know, when people say that, like when you have like writer's block or you like hit a problem, you should just like leave and then come back to it. I feel like that's like a similar thing. Things only make sense when you have like that kind of prior knowledge, or like that prereq to kind of get a better understanding. And then like once you have that, you get back to it.
It needs to be at the right time. Like a good example is Hours. I had the idea of Hours back in May of 2020. I had that idea. I knew what I wanted to look like. What I thought in May is exactly what it is right now. Like not exactly, but like generally it's what I wanted it to be. And I tried building it, but I couldn't and I failed just because I didn't understand. I didn't have enough technical background at the time to build it. Specifically, I didn't understand a more efficient way of structuring full stack web applications. And so because of that, I was structuring it wrong and I just couldn't do it. From a technical standpoint. And then when I revisited in October, between those 6 months, I think, or maybe 5 months, I had attended a fellowship. I built one academy and all of those things I had built with that same infrastructure that what Hours is built on today. So, you know, I guess it's luck, but you need to have those right puzzle pieces. If you're in a class and they say, yo, you should know this because you've done these things, then continue banging your head against the wall and just figure it out at some point. But if you're kind of free floating, there's going to be a lot of things that you don't know that you need to know. Like there's going to be a lot of things that you don't know that you need to know. If that makes sense.
Yeah. So, like you don't know what you don't know. So you kind of
have to need to explore.
Yeah. You get it. Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's pretty good advice, I'd say, because I think a lot of times you get like, people get really frustrated, or like I get really frustrated too. And I like can't figure something out because I feel like I should, but it's like, maybe it's just like, you'll get it. Your future you will be better at tackling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's actually move into Hours. Maybe we can do like one or two more questions with Hours. This is kind of like you mentioned, you had the idea earlier and you wanted to build it, and then came like October and then you're actually building it. Could you bring us a brief overview of the steps in growing Hours and then all the way up to your acquisition, I guess, how you felt about that? And then one thing I also would love to hear about is, what do you think you did that was different or like made it so that people wanted to use it, or like was it made it different than all of these other SaaS websites?
Yeah. So the general timeline of Hours was, I wrote I wrote the first line of code technically in May, but I didn't use that code. That was like, I tried. So the idea of hours, like I kind of said before, started in May, had the idea in May, but then started in October, and I came across hours again. And I was like, I've done a lot in the last few months. Let me take another crack at this. And I was able to get it working, like a really, really trash version working in like 7 hours. I think I stayed up to like two.
Wow.
And so I tried it out with my mom next day. And you can always tell, like, you can always tell when something's different. Basically, I had shown her a lot of projects. I even showed her One Academy after 2.5 months of development. And she had the same reaction. She was like, oh, this is cool. And then she wouldn't use it ever again.
Oh.
And so the same thing happened. I showed hours to her and I showed her like, oh, this is how it works. But it was like really bad. It was like, there were lines everywhere. It was blue for some reason. Like there were scroll bars everywhere. But I was like, oh, this is how it works. Like, this is what it's based on. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, this is cool. And then I thought she wouldn't use it again. But then the next day she was like, oh, do you want to use it? Like, do you want to do a session? And so, I mean, that was really great. And so I was like, oh, you know, I'm onto this. And it was a great break. So I kept working on it for like a week, showed it to some friends. And then they had the same reaction, whereas they were like, oh, like, let me keep using this. And then they showed it to their friends and they showed it to their friends. And I maybe like in a week, I showed it to one person, but there were like 8 people using it. And I was like, this is pretty good. And so I kept building until I had like a pretty good product. And then I tried to put it out there. At the time, I had no idea how to like market a product. I'm not a marketer. I'm not like this huge hustler. Like, I know a lot of other entrepreneurs my age. They're like, oh yeah, like they're hustlers. They're salesy. They'll pitch to anyone. They'll network with everyone. I'm just kind of just like this guy's building stuff at home. And so I think I forgot. I tried a variety of, went through like Reddit and stuff, and you know, those aren't really sustainable. And what I ended up one person who I did not know was using my product. I think this is how it happened. I'm just remembering this now. She basically messaged me on Reddit and she was like, hey, we love ours. This is probably like the third time someone's told me we love ours. And I'm like, oh, that's very kind. Oh, we love ours. We're using it in our study Discord server. I was like, oh, what is it? What server? And I joined the server and I had no idea, but study Discord servers are a huge thing. Like there's at least 100 to 150 different Discord servers that all they do is they join VCs and they're like, hey, come study with me. They'll just stay in the VC, mics off, cameras off, and then they'll just work. Maybe they'll have music in the back. The other ones, they'll probably use Forest, or the other ones, they'll use like some other tool. And I joined all of the servers. I'm like, this is the exact place I need to be. And so what I ended up doing was exactly. So I joined, I mean, in total, I joined like maybe 120 Discord servers.
Whoa.
And basically what I would do is every single day I would start, I had like this gigantic spreadsheet and I would be like, okay, I would split up the 3 segments and I would basically target servers in 3 different segments for 3 different parts of the day. And for each segment, maybe there'll be like 6 servers. And what I would do is I would start 6 different sessions. And for 6 of those servers, I would be like, hey, I'm studying right now. Come join my session. And, come study with me. And most of the time, no one joined, but there would be those some servers, one person would join. And basically my hypothesis was, out of 10 people that join, 6 of them are going to like it and they're going to keep using it. And so basically if I could get them on the platform, I can let the product speak for themselves. So I went through a lot of different ideas. I was like, hey, I could be like a founder. I could join and I'd go right up to the admin and be like, yo, I'm the founder of this thing. You should make your members use it. And I tried it like once, but admins don't respond. And that didn't seem like the best route. So what the route I ended up taking was just, hey, I'm joining. I'm a member like you. And I found this really cool project that I think can work well for you guys. You guys should use it. And for the very few people that joined, basically what I knew from the beginning is if I can get that person to like this product, they're going to get their friends within the server, and then those people are going to get that. So basically, once I get one person, they become my user generator within that server, within that community. And some of these communities had like 100,000 people. And so basically, I would do that every single day. I would run like 20 different sessions every single day for like 3 months straight. And it was just so hard because there would be some days where literally no one would join and it would be like the most depressing day ever. Aww. But over time, it worked. And Discord is like one of the biggest places where we get a lot of our traffic. And so, and actually a funny story that I'll tell you that I created a fake alias for myself because my Discord tag is like the same as my Twitter tag. And I'm like, I'm not going to tarnish my name by going into all of these servers every single day and just low key, but really not low key spamming them to join this tool that they didn't know I built. So I changed my name to Circman.
And Pingu.
Yes. So basically I was like, okay, I need an alias. Literally like around this, like 9 PM. I was like, I need an alias. What do I want to call myself? Something man, Cirque, or like.
What does Cirque even mean?
Yeah. So like everyone asks me, like everyone that I tell the story to, they ask me, what is the meaning? There is no meaning. I literally just came up with that name in like 8 seconds.
Had to go undercover.
Yeah. And I just call myself Cirque man. And then, you know, very, someone close to me, she had sent me this meme of like this dancing penguin. It's like a GIF. She sent me this dancing penguin. And then I was like, okay, I need a new profile picture. I went through my file and I happened to download it and I saw it. And I'm like, that looks very Discord worthy.
Yeah.
And so it's like the jogging penguin, right? And so I chose it and then it froze in this one position where it's just running. And that became my profile picture. And it's really funny because my dad's like, you know, he was pretty unaware of what ours was up until the acquisition, but my mom was pretty informed of everything. And so I told her all about Circman and what, you know, when my dad would ask me how it's ours going, I'd just be like, oh, I have a marketing guy named Circman and I just refer to him as someone else. And it was super funny. And then for Christmas, my mom actually, she bought me this custom sweater and she ironed on the Circman picture and the tag.
That's great. Like the penguin?
Yeah. So I actually have it in my room. It's actually a little bit too small for me, but I'll keep it forever.
That's so funny. Okay, so I'm picking up a few things here. So first, you just got it in front of people. So like you showed your mom, you showed your friends, and like kind of got their authentic reaction. And then this time it was like different, which I thought was pretty cool. Like you kind of saw that they kept on using it naturally. And then another thing, I know you mentioned that you weren't like the biggest marketing person. And I thought that like one thing that was pretty cool was that you kind of let the product like speak for itself, especially in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because you're really good at web development. And also find where your people are. I would never think that Discord is like a good place to grow and like grow a user base, but yeah, I guess community is really powerful. And especially when you find that these are where like the people who are using similar things and like with you, with like the study groups, that's really interesting that like you're able to utilize communities to grow an audience. And then last thing I realized, is that I think like with Circman, right? Like you have to kind of be authentic or like put yourself in the shoes of the user in terms of trying to get them to use it. And also I noticed that you like did things that didn't scale, which was like you literally would try to get maybe just like 6 people a day to like join, which I thought was pretty cool because like in the beginning, like that's not sustainable in the long run, but like you mentioned, once these people actually use it or like pick it up and then like it, then they'll become like your own or they'll spread the word as well.
Yeah, I think it's also like important that like you have fun. Like it doesn't always have to be so serious. Like Circman was definitely like, cause startups are really hard and they can suck the life and happiness out of you. And so like, for example, with Circman, it was funny. Like sometimes like my mom, like from where I'm sitting right now, my mom sits right over there. Her desk is right over there and she has a couch right there. And at least like a couple times a month, I would just fall flat first into that couch and I would just be like, Circman got rejected like 20 times today. Or I got banned from like 2 servers today. And, you know, we would have like a good laugh about it. Or when I was running all of these sessions, it's not just, hey, I have to post every single day. But if someone pings me in the server, I have to respond. You know, people will talk in the chat and I have to talk to like five different sessions at the same time. And I'll have to create fake tasks for every single session. I'll be
oh
like,
my God.
I have my English essay and then I have to study for my math test. But when I'm doing that, I'm actually just working on hours.
Mm-hmm. But like, imagine if one person was in like two servers though, and they're
So that's happened before. Like people are like, Circman, you're here too? Why don't you post in our server anymore? And I'm just like, go away. Like I would try not to respond because I like, you know, I can't get busted here.
They're like, Circman's kind of sus.
A lot of people were sus of me. I don't do it anymore because I don't have time, but you know, a lot of people like, Circman, what are you doing? And some of them actually called me out and I'm like, ah, shoot. And then I had to leave the server.
That's pretty funny. So ours is acquired now. So I guess tell people a bit about the acquisition and how that felt and what you're working on now with ours too.
Yeah. So ours is acquired by Fiveable right now. So I'm working there as a lead product manager and also serving as CEO of ours still. So, you know, we're working on a lot of trust and safety related things, a lot of internal housekeeping. We're also hiring for engineering interns. Applications are closed now, unfortunately, but, you know, that'll be exciting. And then we're also going to be opening it up for social media and SEO interns. So, you can stay posted for that, but yeah, you know, working there. And then, I am kind of evaluating a couple different opportunities, fellowships, internships, things like that into fields that I want to break into, and also working on some stealth stuff, but
for a reason. Okay. We'll have to wait and find out. We'll have to guess what Circman is doing next. Yep. If we pop onto a Discord server someday, I'll be like, what is Calyx working on now?
Different alias every time.
Ooh, yeah, we'll never know. But yeah, any last final advice for high schoolers, other people your age?
I think it's just like timing is very important. Like when I get to reflect, like even just speaking just now was giving me some time to reflect. Just kind of like so many things were lucky. Like for example, like I would have probably not gone into like entrepreneurship at least this early if I didn't go to that hackathon and build NOJS, continue building it afterwards. You know, the whole timing with, hey, I had the idea of ours in May, but then I started in October. And even now, like understanding that certain times you need to explore and you need to expand your opportunities. Like right now, I have been inspired to kind of expand my interests and actually go after these new kinds of fellowships and internships and not stay stagnant with, hey, I sold a company, I'm good, let me just do my work at Fiveable and, you know, maybe code on the side. Like not stay content and then actually go out and do opportunities, but then also understand the times where I need to cut out all opportunities and just focus on what I'm doing right now. You know, with ours, I turned away countless internships, executive positions, and also other ideas that I was able to build after the acquisition. But, you know, being able to just hunker down and focus on this one thing really kind of is what really kind of catapulted it. And so, yeah, just understanding the timings, being very self-aware of what you should be doing, not necessarily determined by the people around you, because everyone's going to have different timings, but seeing what you want and where you want to go in the future, you can kind of evaluate if you should be going after new opportunities or focusing on just one thing.
Wow. That was really good. I feel like that was some really good advice. Also, I feel like we went on a whole journey in this conversation. I like how you always are trying to improve and like not stay stagnant and going to expose you a bit, but like after you sold hours, you were like working on new products and you were like, I feel like you'd never stay stagnant. You're always like learning or like trying to have fun, which I think is really cool. This conversation was honestly really fun. So yeah, thanks so much for coming on. And I think there's a lot of different things that you mentioned and a lot of people can learn a lot from that.
For sure. It was really fun. And also low-key kind of helped me reflect on a few things. So that's pretty beneficial.
Yeah, I learned a lot. Like, I know we talk a lot, but I learned a lot about your backstory, like some things that I feel like I didn't know as well before. So yeah, this was really cool. I also learned a lot from this conversation. So hopefully all the listeners were able to learn something new. Maybe you should go out there and try something, you know, just have fun. And yeah, even if things don't go well, like maybe it's like the timing and things will work out. So yeah, thanks so much for listening. Hopefully this podcast was an enjoyable one, and we'll see you in the next one.
See you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Delta X Podcast with Ellen Hsu. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.